You're talking about the buses.
No, there were many busloads going off to war. And I told the boys, I said, now, we'll wave at them. And we were the only ones there to wave goodbye to all those troops going to Korea to war. So we went back to where we were staying, and I thought, well, look, I'll leave early in the morning, because when I traveled along with the children, I try to get started early and stop late in the, early in the evening. And got the diapers all washed, everything ready to go. And we did leave early. And I remember I wanted to go through Seattle before the traffic got too bad. And I found a little shop where I could stop and get another car seat. I had one for John, but in those days you didn't have to have a car seat, so I just had the one seat. And so I found this darling little car seat. I'll never part with that. That's one thing I didn't give away. So we did real well that day. And early in the evening, I stopped to get gas. And this gentleman at the station, he said, are you traveling along with those children? And I felt like asking, do you think I have a man hid in the trunk? It was real obvious. Nobody else. But he was real nice. He said, well, I want to tell you that when you get in the Blue Mountains, there'll be no motels. He said, the only place you'll be able to find a place to stay tonight, if you stop at the next motel, you'll probably be able to get a place this early, but don't go on in the mountains because you won't find any place to stay. So we found a motel, and it was a real pretty place. I remember it vividly. And praise the Lord, there was a vacancy sign. And I parked near where I could watch the boys while I went in to register. The lady was, well, I remember her real well too. She was a harsh lady, and she looked out and saw the children, and she said, well, I have rooms, but I won't let children in my motel. And I said, well, I'm very particular with my children. I don't let them soil their own beds, and I wouldn't let them soil anybody else's bed. And she said, it doesn't make any difference. I don't want any children. Then she looked at me. She said, just what I need to hear. She said, I suppose you're one of these women that their husband's going off to war, and you're just following him all over the country. So I looked at her and I said, lady, if your husband is going off to war, I'm sure you'd want to be with him as long as you could. She said, I don't care. She put her arms up and she said, let him go. So I put my hand up and I pointed it right at her and I said, lady, you are hopeless. She said, oh, you can stay. So I think that's enough for now. We got back safe. And so I was hoping that all the neighbor children were waiting for us to get home. Of course, they weren't sure when we'd get home, but I said, oh, I just hope their mothers don't come, because they'll start saying, oh, poor Phoebe, feel so sorry for you. Well, I bought gifts for all the children in the neighborhood, and they all came in, and I gave them their gifts, and we had a good time. And then their mothers started coming, but somebody knocked on the door, and I was in the living room, and this lady she introduced herself. She said, I'm Barbara Bolster, a friend of a friend of yours. And she said, this letter will introduce me. And she worked for the government, and she was retiring. I think she only needed one more year to finish her work before she could retire. And this friend of hers had told her that my husband had gone to Korea, and she needed a place to stay. And she wanted to rent a room. And I had never even thought about doing anything like that. But she was so nice, and I knew the lady real well, you know, that had recommended that she stay there. And the Lord just really sent her, because she was a precious woman, and her husband had died and left her with six children. And, well, they were real devout Catholics. And she had four children dead and four living. One of them was a priest, and one of them was in the Navy that had two little boys just the ages of our sons. And anyway, she was a very patriotic person and was just a lovely woman, but she was engaged to be married after all these years, so she was getting her trousseau fixed, and she was, well, it was just a, I rented the front bedroom to her. It was just a blessing, and I would fix a good meal every evening and eat in the dining room, you know, and she'd come home and eat with us, and the boys were the ages of her grandsons, and, but she would say to me, she was so sweet, because she was pretty young when her husband died, and she'd say, oh, she said, now, my husband's gone, and I know I can't be with him, but she said, it's worse on you, because your husband's still alive. He's over there in that war, you know, she, I'd say, oh, now, Barbara, you know, at least he's still alive, but she stayed for 3 months, and then she was going to California to be with her son that was a priest. Before she got married, she wanted to visit him. So that, those 3 months were very crucial, and, you know, it really was a blessing to have her. So, and there's many more stories I could tell you, but I think that's enough.
And so, like, whenever he would go to war, like, how long were you?
Oh,
like
he was gone. In World War II, he was gone. It was 3 years to the day from he, when he got back.
So you didn't see him for 3 years?
For 3 years. Couldn't even talk to him.
She didn't even speak to me for 3 years.
Well, we go somewhere.
But she wrote me a letter every day. A lot of times she wrote me 2 letters.
Well, there was different types of mail. There was V-mail, which they'd take a picture of, and then they would send that faster. And the regular mail.
The V-mail, they'd take a picture of it, and then they'd fly the film across to somewhere close to where we were, and then they'd develop the film and print out one picture, and that would be what she had written. Now, the airmail went airmail from where you put it in the mailbox to San Francisco, and then it laid there for a week or two, and they had a slow boat going over there, so that your airmail letters came in bunches like bananas. You might get a dozen or 14 of them at a time. But the V-mail came not every day, but they did a pretty good job of delivering mail no matter where you were, too.
But it was very small. You just wrote a small, it was just one sheet, you know, and the picture, when you get the letter, it'd be, oh, about the size of an envelope. You couldn't write much. It was real fine.
So there in Colorado Springs, we lived right across the schoolhouse. She could stand on the front porch and watch the children cross the road and go in the front door to school. We moved from there. I was sent to Oklahoma, Fort Sill, Oklahoma. We were out looking for a house. Now, that's one reason we got along so well in our marriage. She makes all the little decisions, and I make all the big decisions. See, where we're going to live, that's a little decision. We're out looking for a house, and She went in the front door of that house, and head and eyes right straight to the front, looked through the back window of that house and says, is that the schoolhouse? I said, yes. And she said, we'll take it.
Oh, it wasn't quite that bad. It was a nice place.
So
a nice neighborhood.
Instead of having to go across the road, they could go through a hole in the back fence to get to school.
Well, Jim or John didn't go to school.
She's put up with a lot.
Well, I've enjoyed my
experience. Worst thing she put up with is me, I guess.
Yeah. He was the only man I was ever wanted to marry, so I've been happy with him. We've had a lot of sickness and a lot of ups and downs, but it's part of life. So, but I've always said that if you don't know the sorrow of separation, you don't know the joy of being reunited. You know, that's something that stays with you, because I expect a lot of people think we're queer, because I guess we are, but, you know, we just enjoy being together. We can just sit and read and have a good time, and we have been, you know, separated so many times, other than wars.
Mm-hmm.
But like when he was in Alaska, of course, the families couldn't go there, and a lot of places he was, and that we couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
But I went every time that we were able to go, so it wasn't always easy, and I'd always hate to leave, no matter where we lived, because I enjoyed, everywhere I lived, I have friends from every place. I keep up with so many people, it's pitiful.
To give you an idea, she she mentioned, I went up to Alaska to the mountain medicine, to the mountain and winter warfare training. Never mind. So they sent me up to Camp Hale. Now, of course, you don't know where Camp Hale is, but it's up above Leadville, Colorado. Leadville, Colorado, at that time, was the highest incorporated city in the world, sitting on top of the Continental Divide, the Rocky Mountains. And Camp Hale was just down the slope a little bit. So they sent me up there for some reason, because they thought I was smarter than some of them, to tell them about these howitzers that we were talking about a while ago. And we had been up there a little bit the winter before, and we got to know a man that had summer cabins. We rented a summer cabin from him, and so I wrote to the thinking he was still there, wrote to him, and Larry didn't come back. We didn't hear from him, so came time for me to go up there. Well, I loaded her in the car, naturally. We went up to Leadville, and down right close to Camp Hale, stopped in. There's a like to get that cabin I talked to you about. Oh, I didn't think you'd come in a snowstorm like this. It's 40 below zero. I says, man, I'm in the Army. When they tell me to be somewhere, I got to be there. You got a cabin? He said, I haven't got anything cleaned out. And the snow was high as my head to dig a path out to a cabin. So I borrowed a snow shovel from him and dug a path out to the... Oh, the first cabin, he had something stored in it. I couldn't use it. So the second cabin, I got in there and I says, come on, honey, here's home sweet home. I got in there and started a fire, and I had to go down to the tent and sign in. It's way in the night. It must have been 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I don't know. And I thought I had a fire started. And she came in there, and I disappeared. And I thought this fire was going to burn. The smokestack was stopped up with snow. And that fire did not burn, but it filled the cabin with snow.
30 below in that cabin.
That's inside the cabin, 30 below, when the fire was going. So she laid... She got all the cover she could and covered up until I got back. And when I got back, I took her up. I said, look, I'm going to have to get another cabin, let her stay up here where she won't be so cold. But she was in good shape. We had running water. I'd run down the spring and get her a bucket of water every morning. She had one of the best freezers you ever saw. Just raise the window and set your meat outside in a wooden box out there, just freezing, just a little bit. She was in good shape.
But I had a dog, and when it was so cold, and I didn't have a fire, I laid under the covers, and I didn't put the dog under the covers, but he was a real friendly dog, and he laid on that bed to help me keep warm. I remember that.
Well, she's always had it nice.
Yeah. So precious. So it was 3 years as long as...
That he was gone 3 years in World War II, and he was gone a year and a half in Korea.
But then there were a lot of other times when I'd be going to school or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like I told you a while ago, every time you get a chance to go to school, learn. Mm-hmm. Because that's what makes the world go round. And I've had some, I don't know, I wouldn't say good assignments, but I've had some opportunities that I would not have had if I hadn't have gone to some of these schools. See, you know, when, can't think of his name, sent me to that advanced course. See, I didn't want to go like a fool. I wouldn't stay home with her. I'm pregnant. But if he hadn't have sent me to that school, I'd have, I wouldn't have been able to get some goodness of it. Better assignments that I got. Mm-hmm.
So how many places did y'all live in all? How many? While you were married.
How many places did we live in Colorado?
Just in all.
While I was in the Army.
Yeah. Well, it would have been 23 places.
Wow.
But the interesting thing is, how many places have we lived since I've been out of the Army?
We lived in Indiana and Alabama. We love Alabama, because I said the day the Lord saved the best for the last.
You know, don't you, that Alabama's the smartest state in the Union.
Mm-hmm.
Got four A's and a B.
But when we moved to Indiana, after all those years of moving, and it was wonderful to have a place, you know, we could be together all the time. And I said to somebody, my next move is heaven. And then we moved here. This person had heard me say that, and they said, well, I've heard Alabama called a lot of things, but I've never heard it called heaven before. That's my next move.